Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, 80s action star, and you. Happy Thanksgiving week. Getting ready for Nebraska, Iowa. A lot to get into. We'll talk coaching carousel with Mitch Sherman. That carousel's going about 6,000 miles per hour. Whew. Some thoughts on Chip Kelly, what he does next. Good luck predicting, but I'll attempt to do that. And what lies ahead for Nebraska v. Iowa. Rick Pizzo going to be with us in 1 hour. Big Ten Buffet, Big Ten Network, little recruiting thoughts, Nebraska-Iowa talk, and some recruiting news with Nebraska offers out there. Greg Smith in hour two. And, of course, Mitch Sherman to join us in 15. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House lets you do that. Tuesday trivia with Applebee's gets rolling around 5:40, and we will qualify folks this hour and next hour for Nebraska-Iowa tickets and Blur party passes, that giveaway at the hands of Colton Stone around 5:55 tonight. That way you have time to get to the studio tomorrow to get it picked up. We got you great weather. We have potentially one last hurrah for Mike Riley and a chance to give it to Iowa for the first time in 3 years. What more do you want? Great weather. Better weather than most Iowa-Nebraska games, and a chance to say thanks and fare thee well, if that is the direction that happens, to a really class individual and a good football coach, Mike Riley. So we'll get you qualified for Nebraska-Iowa tickets, Blur party passes here this hour and next hour. Can get in touch with us on Twitter at Schmidt _ radio, at Hail Varsity, or via email chris@hailvarsity.com. So here's what you have going. In the rival talk is being ramped up, and I don't know how much black and yellow I'm going to see at the Cornhusker Marriott inside there at Miller Time Pub for our special Black Friday show, 10 to noon. But if history is any indication, you had quite a few Rutgers fans, you had quite a few Badger fans, you had plenty of Ohio State fans, and then the Iowa invasion. DeMornay Pearsonell, our guest yesterday, in the presser at the podium. Who really likes Iowa? But let me ask you, do you really hate Iowa? Okay, cards on the table. One of my best friends in the world, Iowa Russ, grew up just outside of Iowa City. He's been a dude I've known for a decade. There for me forever. Awesome guy. I have not yet gone to Iowa with him to play golf or hang out, but the guy is as good as it gets in my life. Awesome, awesome person. Iowa Russ. And I have watched my share of Hawkeye games, drinking his beer or bourbon on his deck. And listen, I'm not converted to Iowa fandom, but I have kind of said, okay, I don't hate these guys like I used to. I mean, growing up, it was Hayden Fry, his porn stash, and the Highway Patrol glasses. They'd always get just mauled by people because it was kind of towards the tail end. Then they kind of got a heartbeat, went to a Rose Bowl, got smoked by Washington. They always had the tight ends that stood up, okay? And then I see Hayden Fry's coaching tree, and I'm like, damn, wow. No wonder he sucks now, because everyone left for jobs and they're winning championships. They're down at Kansas State, or they're the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator at Florida, Bob Stoops. Or, man, they're the Notre Dame defensive coordinator, now head coach at Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez. So, listen, I respect their blue-collar and tough approach. I think Josie Jewell's an amazing linebacker. I think Noah Fant would look great in red and white, and that was the biggest botch job the last 15 years of recruiting in-state. Don't forget to throw in Harrison Phillips either to that whiff for in-state kids. So, listen, do I hate Iowa? No. Do I cheer for Iowa? No, only when they play Ohio State, if I'm putting a fan hat on for a second. But where are you at? Can you go full rivalry mode ever with Iowa? Does it feel forced? Is it something you're sick of thinking about? Is it something you're just kind of like, just check me in come spring football and things are hopeful? Because there's different ways you can go with that. Bill Moose wants Iowa permanently on Black Friday. Said so in his AD radio show. And he wants Iowa as that rival. To me, it feels better to have Wisconsin. But Barry Alvarez is that tie, is that reason. And they Nebraska'd you to death in the fourth quarter this year. So Wisconsin's the team you're chasing, the team you beat. I get that. But when I look at it's circling Iowa. I think once Barry Alvarez goes away, whenever he retires, be it 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or whenever, then Wisconsin, without his supervision there, they drop back to being good, but he can make them great with his directives and his orders and his hands-on. This is his family business. This is the program he built in the image of Bob Devaney. No one shall screw it up. No one shall not go 100 miles per hour at the walk-ons. So as long as Barry's there, Wisconsin's going to rock and roll, period. Christ is good. Whoever is their defensive coordinator this year is really good. They're all listening to instructions from Barry. Once he goes away, Wisconsin kind of comes back to the pack. Iowa is more of a long term. They're not moving short of an earthquake. You're always going to be in bed next to them. So circle them. Call them out, declare them, and push to establish Iowa as that rival. Bill Moose is going to. He's gone to the Big Ten to try and make it happen. And at some point, and Iowa's been the only other team to do it, someone's going to wrestle that Big Ten West crowd away from Wisconsin. Someone's got to do it. And it would be pretty cool if it's Nebraska or Iowa shaping up, showing down on that last Friday before the conference championship game, that Black Friday after Turkey Day. So go after it. Iowa has grown on me as a rival. And it depends who you ask. How do you feel? I mean, the series is 3-3. And there's a checklist here. We'll get Danny Langsdorf's thoughts here in a minute. But you have a rival checklist, don't you? A, they make you angry. They make you sad. They rip your soul when you lose to them. There is a lot of hatred. You do look forward to playing them because you want to beat them. And then from the big brother, little brother side of things, since it's Thanksgiving, kid table, adult table, you're above them, they're below you. That's always how you feel, no matter how many times you've lost to them in a row. There is some begrudging respect for them when they do knock your teeth out. Is it meaningful? Well, one team gets to go 6-6, the other gets to go 4-8 or 5-7. No, it's not meaningful, but there's a chance it could very easily rise up. And it's one of these games right now where one team rolls in ranked. Think of Iowa 2 years ago coming in. Perfect season at stake. Cold and windy day at Memorial Stadium. A little Oklahoma-Nebraska weather-esque. And four interceptions / turnovers did Nebraska in against an unbeaten Iowa that almost won the Big Ten championship and almost went to the college football playoff. Sparty was great that year. Sparty was incredible in that Big Ten championship game, a team that Nebraska beat just weeks before. So is it a big game? There's always something at stake, and it's always a losable game. That's, to me, what a rival should feel like. You're just like, I mean, I remember growing up going to Colorado games and Nebraska games. We go out to Boulder. This is pre-gummy bear era. We go out to Boulder, and it was, they hated you, and they fed it to you. It was pretty cool shutting them up. And then you blow a lead, your buzz would wear off, and it's one of those field goal ball games against the Buffs. And for a while, it meant everything. It meant the Big 12. Then it went away. So location's pretty key here. So, yeah, I mean, Iowa has grown on me as a rival. I embrace them as a team that you want to show down with and finish the season out with. It's also a test of wills. I mean, they have absolutely been dominant physically, and I go back to last year, and I go back to the Ohio State game like 3 weeks ago, where they looked superhuman. I go back to the fact that Iowa's one of these teams that you can pick on and make fun of, and ha, 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 you lost to Purdue. Yeah, you got rolled by Wisconsin. Oh, you put up 55 against Ohio State? You should have beat Penn State this year? They are one of those weird, weird teams where they play so sky high and up to their level. But man, kind of bottling that and being consistent's never been their thing, ever. So I look at it. Are they a rival? Yes. Are we forcing it? Feels forced a bit, probably, with the trophy and the fact that, does Iowa care about Nebraska? Probably not, other than they want to beat Nebraska. Nebraska got to pick somebody to dance with. Let's hope the Moose gets it locked and loaded for Black Fridays for years to come. What's Danny Langsdorf think of this? Is Iowa a rival? Because that's the narrative that's being built up alongside, is this Mike Riley's last game?
I wouldn't say it's any more important than any other ones, a conference opponent, but I think with the vicinity of where they are, I think it's natural. You know, they've been a tough physical team against us, and you know, so I think it's kind of natural with how close they are that you get up for that game. But at the same time, it shouldn't be any different than any other game, especially a conference opponent. They're all tough opponents and good teams. So our preparation will be the same. But you know, it's kind of a special day, being the one of the only games on, and right after Thanksgiving. I think it's a good tradition that is starting to build with them for sure.
Can you make it special? That's up to both these teams not sucking at the end of the year. Iowa's been on the radar. They have big wins. They have had big wins in the past years. It's Nebraska's job to catch up and win some of these games and not look like Utah State circa 1989 and have 500 rushing yards put up on them. Because Iowa's a different animal, because Minnesota's important to them. Wisconsin's super important to them with the Barry Alvarez tie. Then Iowa's been the only team to rise up, and they have knocked off the East powers in back-to-back years. Destroyed Ohio State, snuck out a how-the-hell-did-that-happen win against Michigan a year ago, and they were unbeaten. They have played well in big games, and they've had the national stage and buzz and narrative. They fumbled it away, but they at least got the handoff for a short time. So circle them, go after them, and see if it can become a thing. I'd be interested to talk to Iowa fan about that, if they care. Not yet. And I think they're annoyed by Nebraska fans' superiority complex over them. That, oh, you're Nebraska, you're 10 times. Yeah, I know Nebraska fans. You probably know Nebraska fans that, yeah, we're Nebraska, you're Iowa, we're better than you. Don't care what's happened the last 2 years. Iowa does. So that'll be a continual thing, the growth of this rival. And listen, it's a weird place and time in Nebraska football right now. Because what are you kind of clinging to? You're hoping for Frost. And you're reaching for a new direction and relevancy and importance and change. And a consistent offense and a kick-butt defense that's fast and physical and furious and getting after quarterbacks. I mean, you're longing for consistency and success and good football. And right now it hurts to admit that Iowa, while consistency has avoided them, they can put it together from time to time, and they seem to do it on the biggest stages where NBC or ABC, not NBC, but ABC or Fox will be there for a night game, and what happens? That Kinnick magic. That used to be Memorial Stadium, and it still can be Memorial Stadium with the right fit and right head guy. 466-377-6800-825-5865. It doesn't feel as forced anymore. Do you agree with that? That it's kind of becoming something to latch on to, Nebraska v. Iowa. We'll see if the Moose gets it handled on Black Friday for years to come. 80 years and counting, we've been doing things the AgriGold way over the decades. We've built a brand that's truly different because of our knowledge and passion, different because we represent the voice of our customer, our true partner, providing customers the very best seed, backed by that handshake and promise of more diversity, less risk, and greater yield. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. Mitch Sherman of ESPN, up next with Hail Varsity Radio.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Welcome in Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. Mitch, how you doing?
Not too bad, Chris. How are you? Happy early Thanksgiving.
Hey, same to you, man. We're doing great here, and it's coaching carousel, and it's gone from 0 to 60 the last few days. And yeah, what do you think Chip Kelly does? I want to start there.
I think he might end up at UCLA. I do think he's going to get back in the game. I think the writing's on the wall there. I kind of feel like Florida would have had him by now if it was going to happen, to be honest. I mean, Florida's been in the game for several weeks. And with the early signing period coming up here before Christmas, there's an urgency on the part of all of these administrations, and I think you'll see that as the carousel really gets whipping around after this weekend to make hires quickly. So there's not any reason to sit around if you're Florida and you've got your guy. The fact that the negotiations or whatever it's been has taken this long with Kelly makes me think that he's very possibly going to end up elsewhere. And this UCLA opening has got to be intriguing to him. It's a conference that he knows. It's a place that he can definitely install his offense quickly, be successful. It seems like it would be right up his alley. So perhaps even more so than Florida, which probably would have been also a good fit for him. But right now, I would lean toward UCLA.
With that, is it more about the familiarity, being back in the Pac-12 and being able to build UCLA into something they've never really been? Outside of the year with Cade McNown and the year with Troy Aikman, is that the appeal over the Gators? What would be the sticking points with Florida, in your opinion?
Well, you've got things to contend with in the SEC that just aren't as foreboding in the Pac-12. You're going to go up against some great defenses. To win a conference title, you've got to go through Alabama. You could say the same thing out west about USC, but it's not quite as daunting at this point as Nick Saban and his machine. I think he would enjoy being a part of that rivalry in Southern California. And, you know, UCLA doesn't have to be the little sister in that thing. I mean, their resources, while USC's resources are, of course, substantial, I mean, this is one of those rivalries where these teams should be on, generally, these programs should be on fairly even ground. And they haven't been in for much of the last, this last era in college football, the last 20 years or so, or maybe even longer. USC's been in and out of the elite, and UCLA's generally been out of it. So, yeah, I think the familiarity of the conference appeals to him, the recruiting base for sure. And that would be there in Florida too. You can't go wrong with either of those jobs if in fact what he's doing is choosing between those two programs. But because of his history, I would expect that UCLA has some advantages that Florida does not.
When it comes to assistant coaching pool, who wins that arm wrestling match? Can Florida spend more than UCLA?
You know, it could go either way. I mean, I saw some references to the state of California and the, you know, the money that would have to be spent and how it wouldn't. I don't think that matters. I mean, these athletic departments generally operate without a whole lot of consequence from state budgets. I don't think that California having financial problems is going to limit its next coach's his salary or his assistant coach's salary. So, you're talking about two premier places in Florida and UCLA, and to try to say that one is going to be better, significantly better than the other in what it can pay its assistant coaches, I think is walking down a road that you know doesn't have a real straight answer. It could go either way, and they're both pretty good outcomes, just like the head coaching spot.
Mitch, let's talk Nebraska, Iowa before we get back into some other jobs. And with this Nebraska-Iowa game, and I spent the last 15 minutes talking about how at first I just kind of rolled my eyes at Nebraska-Iowa as a rival, mm-hmm. but it's really grown on me. And there, at some point, one of these two teams will consistently challenge Wisconsin. At some point, Wisconsin's dominance will end, and then does it shift to Nebraska in Iowa fighting for the West? And what's your take? How does it feel to you? You grew up eastern part of the state of Nebraska, and you look at Iowa-Nebraska now. The series is at 3 apiece. They're not playing for much except pride on Friday. How do you view it? Has the rivalry side of this grown on you?
I think it grows with time. And it would sure help if there was a year where both of these programs were at the top of their game. It hasn't happened yet in the Big Ten. It's not in any way happening this year. It's kind of the opposite right now with the way that the seasons have gone. Well, the way the season's gone all year for Nebraska and the way it's gone of late for Iowa. So, but I do think that there continues to be a sense of something more than just a regular game when Nebraska and Iowa get together. I probably have said this every year, the week of Thanksgiving that these two teams have played, that the longer they keep it going, and I know it's going to take a break or it's going to be different for a few years, but mm-hmm. the longer they play each other, the more history will grow between the two programs. And eventually, yeah, I'm with you, Chris. Eventually there will be a year where Wisconsin takes a step back and where Nebraska and or Iowa is, and Iowa had this 2 years ago where it was at the top of the Big Ten West, but there will be a time where they're both there, they're contenders. And then that'll be a game that I think takes it to a new level. For now, they're just, as Des Moines Personnel said so eloquently this week, to paraphrase him, they just don't like Iowa. And I think Iowa, the feeling is mutual in Iowa City about Nebraska.
You know, it might be bigger for both the teams than both the states at this point, you know, where there is always wanting to kind of shove it back at the other team. And it got fueled with I-Corst's. I got to, like, consider where Iowa's at, right. You know? I mean, that lit the fuse here.
I think there's truth in that about the fan base, the fan bases of both schools. They go back and forth over the, you know, Thanksgiving table in and around these states. And it goes on 12 months out of the year. Definitely there's more fire to it than there was when Nebraska was a member of the Big 12. We'll say that. And it's only been 6 years. So the longer it goes and the longer there is, this game played at the end or near the end of every season, then I think more will be made of this game, both among the fans and the players.
Mitch Sherman's with us, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how do you think Mike Riley will approach Friday. If it is his farewell ball game here, he's very classy. He's very good at communicating to the media. He's a good face of the program. The wins haven't followed. Do you think he'll float out the idea? Okay, let's go win. Do it for me. He doesn't seem like that type of guy, but you want to, knowing the competitor he is, he wants to win this last game. How do you think the approach is?
I don't think he'll step out of character in that way. Okay. I think the players will. I think the players will sense that, and I think it may be mentioned by some other people within the program, but I don't think it's going to be. That's not Mike Riley. That's not his style. I don't think he'll have a big rah-rah speech before the game. That just isn't the way that he does things. He'll have his way to motivate the guys that has worked at times better than others for him. You know, I think you can say there was a portion of last season where his style of motivation worked well, and it hasn't this year for whatever reason that is. Things have snowballed on this team. The defense has really taken its lumps in the second half of the season. So, but I think Friday, I almost said Saturday, Friday, I think will be different. I think that this team sees light at the end of the tunnel. There's no practice on Sunday or Monday next week. I think they can truly let it all hang out. I think as strange as it is to pile on points in garbage time at Penn State, that probably gave the offense a little bit of momentum. And if they can build on that coming in on Friday, then maybe they get off to a good start. You know, I have more confidence in Nebraska to play well in this game than I probably have since at any point early in the year. So, I don't know what that says when you're 4-7. It probably says that this team doesn't operate really well under pressure. There is no pressure anymore. The decisions have been made. There's no bowl game for this team. And it may just be a scenario in which they can just let it all hang out and play a good game.
Mitch, got about 90 seconds here, but your story with Josie Jewell, ESPN.com, was big time. Really enjoyed it. And you went back to the Jewell farm where they do a lot of raising of crops, but they raise turkeys, which is apropos this week. Did you enjoy your time covering Josie?
Josie's a great kid. I shouldn't say kid, he's a man. He's getting married in July, graduating. He's got his own company. That's on the horizon, and he's going to play in the NFL. He's one of the all-time great defenders in Iowa football history, and he's a kid that almost ended up at Luther College outside of his hometown of Decorah, Iowa. If Reese Morgan, Iowa's defensive line coach, hadn't convinced Kirk Ferentz to offer a scholarship late in January of his senior year, it wouldn't have happened, and nobody would know who this guy was. He'd probably be a great Division III player, and he'd be getting ready to go back and farm with his family. Instead, he's got a completely different life. And it's a good thing for the Big Ten and for Iowa and for all of college football that people have been able to watch him and the way that he plays the game. So it's a reason, if you need a reason to go out and watch on Friday or turn on your TV, just to have some admiration for this guy and everything that he's done in his life, where he's come from, how he built that work ethic, raising turkeys on the farm, his mom, after the article came out this week, she sent me a message and asked if I had gotten an organic turkey from the store, and in future years I'll remember that. I didn't buy our turkey, my mother-in-law did, so I will try to do that in the future, and maybe I can get a turkey that originally came from the Jewell farm up in northeast Iowa.
I like that. Mitch, have a great Thanksgiving with you and your family. A lot of fun to talk today, bud.
All right, thanks, Chris. You too.
Take care. All right, Mitch Sherman. ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman. We'll get into some Chip Kelly thoughts. Response to Mitch's thoughts. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, I think we could listen to the radio.
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Heading out tonight. Maybe you're off. Maybe a little vacation time. Maybe you're heading to the bar. Maybe heading to a friendly Turkey Day, pre-Turkey Day party. What I'm telling you to do is, if you go out and you drink tonight, make sure you have plans to get home safe. Get plans to find that sober ride home. If you get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI. could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time, and you'll be required to install that interlock device to your vehicle. It's not sexy. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Next 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to qualify for Nebraska-Iowa tickets and Blur party passes a little less than an hour away. Don't forget Applebee's Tuesday Trivia, $50 gift card to Applebee's will be up for grabs. We'll do some trivia for you. Some thoughts from Baker Mayfield, tearful remorse on that. We've spent time on the Nebraska-Iowa rivalry discussion. Maybe you're over it or you're annoyed by it, but to me it's grown a bit. It's in a better spot than 6 years ago. Both teams need to keep their end of the bargain up so it's not 4-7 versus 6-5. Let's get into the coaching carousel. I want you to go to HailVarsity.com and check out the story on the 2017-18 college football coaching carousel. Great work. Here's what I think on Chip Kelly. I know Mitch just said, you know, UCLA seems like a no-brainer for him, for Mark Helfrich as his offensive coordinator. And there's a story up on HailVarsity.com in premium in reference to Chip Kelly, what's real. So, here's what I believe with Chip Kelly, okay? And we'll get into some of the other gigs here and how it could screw up things for Nebraska in the Scott Frost sweepstakes. And maybe there is no error here. Maybe things are done. We'll know Friday or Saturday or Sunday where Nebraska is going to go and with who. But what I believe with Chip Kelly, and what I know is the following. One, that Chip's hosted a living room full of Gators already. They went and saw him Sunday. And I would be surprised if there's not any paperwork he is reviewing or his agent is viewing. So it's there. So what he has to decide, and he also had a meeting with UCLA today, had an interview with UCLA today. And UCLA has invoked Under Armour for some help. Under Armour paid off and paid out for Jim Mora to get rid of him, to be for real about football now. And if you're Chip Kelly, yeah, you know the Pac-12, but they know you. And the SEC is something that's not seen or felt your wrath at all. And you hate recruiting, and you hate boosters, and you hate the media, and you hate, you're Chip Kelly and you go hide wherever you want to hide in New Hampshire and in Oregon. It's where you are. You just kind of do your own thing. You're Chip Kelly. You're always drawing up plays. You're a savant. You're a genius, and you know it. You're going to go down to Florida and rip it up and bring the Gators back to national relevancy and championships not far removed. You absolutely pull the trigger. The only reason you're dancing with UCLA is to counter back to Florida. Now, with the Scott Frost situation, if for some miracle UCLA pulls this off, gets Chip Kelly, then Florida comes back to Scott Frost. But they have concerns about Frost and being able to handle the SEC. They want him to take Randy Shannon. Fine. But Scott's pretty loyal and wants his own dudes. What if you're Florida and Chip goes to UCLA? You think Scott might go to Nebraska. And then you got Willie Taggart, who kicked it at a high level down at South Florida. Hasn't done awful at Oregon. Oregon looks much better. Defense is awful still, but whatever. Say he wants out of Oregon to go back down to the southeast part of the United States. How does it work out, and does it end well for Nebraska if Oregon is in search of a head coach with Uncle Phil and Nike? Does Nebraska, you think Nebraska beats Florida out because it's home? Well, Oregon's pretty damn close to being a second home for Scott. Does Nebraska win in a battle for Frost against Oregon? That's why we're talking Chip Kelly. I know he's on a lot of your wish lists as the guy you want here, but Scott makes sense and is a fit, and you'll ride with that. But Chip's the domino for Florida, for Tennessee, for Nebraska, and maybe for Oregon. Not that he goes back, but if he ends up anywhere but Florida, then it's open season on Frost. Arkansas, Brett Bielema, rumored to be headed to Nebraska 3 years ago. Man, now Arkansas is going to try and get Gus Malzahn. Does A&M go after Jimbo Fisher? Does Auburn go after Jimbo Fisher if Gus takes off to Arkansas? You've got so many dominoes here that it's just insane. And I think Oregon, if things don't get resolved by Florida, if UCLA screws this up and lands Chip Kelly, then I think there's a possibility of really maybe not getting Scott Frost. And I don't think he'll end up staying at Central Florida. I could be wrong as we fast forward here 2 weeks from Saturday. I could be way off. Well, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. I feel extremely confident in this Chip Kelly thing. That it's just a matter of time before he signs with Florida. And UCLA is leverage here. And despite shoe money and Under Armour and all that good stuff, listen, the play here is Florida. The less of the headache is Florida. Saban ain't going to be there forever. And go to a place where they are like, oh my God, they got Chip Kelly with that Florida talent. Think of it on, I don't want to say steroids, that's a bad implication, but think of Frost's offense with Florida athletes. Think of a souped-up version of what Central Florida is doing, but only in the SEC. One thing that's hosed Chip Kelly is the interior defensive line once he got out to play SEC teams. That's in his backyard now. His missing piece. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I said it after the game that the big thing for me is the legacy I want to leave. And so thinking about, you know, once again, the people I let down, the kids that watch that, the parents that had their kids watching that, it's been tough.
Yeah, kinda, but I halfway expected from Baker to have him lose his mind. He's ultra competitive. He's the dude that Dennis Rodman loved to get under his skin because he'd lose his mind. Back with you on Hail Varsity Radio. We'll get you qualified here for Iowa, Nebraska tickets and Blur Party Passes in a moment. Rick Pizzo's 10 minutes away, and Greg Smith, we'll talk some recruiting, talk some coaching carousel, we'll talk some Iowa, Nebraska next hour, and we'll get you locked in for Tuesday trivia with Applebee's $50 gift card. Listen, I have not beaten the Baker Mayfield horse here for a while. We have more thoughts from Baker and his tearful apology yesterday. And we'll get all of that played for you so you can hear it. I mean, it's hit him. You want to talk about ownership and accountability and Lincoln Riley just backhanding him, father to son? Although I think Baker can grow a thicker beard. He ain't joking around when you strip a captaincy. That's pretty emphatic. Now, I'm not starting against West Virginia. Well, great, but you're also not a captain. Your final day as a Sooner. And I look at the guy like Baker Mayfield and I just say, man, the guy has overcome so much. He has thrived and lived and prospered off that chip on his shoulder. And he's been unable to dial it back. And you know what's not fair is I think there's a lot of folks that are reminded of Johnny Manziel with Baker Mayfield. Not just in ability and style. I mean, they're both awesome on field during their heyday in college football. But they just think that he's kind of a spoiled little punk. And I think Baker's not him. Johnny wasn't a walk-on. Johnny was going to Oregon with Marcus Mariota and then 12th hour flipped A&M. Baker's had to fight for any respect given, had to battle for eligibility when it came to the transfer thing. And he's incredible, and he's the heartbeat of that team. He's so much fun to watch. He's a leader, gets his guys fired up. But he takes things way too personal. Whatever you need, though, man, that's the edge. You want to talk about edge? How about 0% interest financing through 2020? Sauter Heyman, Rick, and the gang. Be sure to get locked in with them this holiday season. The extensive collection of both Earthmind and Pure Grown Diamonds. 1 carat diamonds, $99 down, $99 a month. Make a beeline to see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion or out west in Grand Island. Can log on at SauterHeyman.com. Okay, caller 9 and 10 qualify right now. Nebraska-Iowa tickets, Blur Party passes for Black Friday. 9 and 10, light them up, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 9 and 10, qualify. Drawing in 1 hour from Colton. Caller 9 and 10, Nebraska-Iowa, Blur Party passes for you.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big Ten Buffet time, Mr. Rick Pizzo. Extremely appropriate for Thanksgiving week. Mr. Rick, how are you, sir?
The turkey has been purchased. The in-laws are in town. The mother-in-law is a phenomenal cook. Already looking forward to Thursday. I'm not so sure, though, that some folks in Lincoln are looking forward to what many believe is going to happen later on in the week.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of a sense of calm and acceptance, Rick, that there'll be a change made, and if that's the case, they hope it's the change that the 1.8 million caretakers of the program want. And he's playing this weekend, or he's coaching this weekend against South Florida. If it's somebody else, duck and cover, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I can tell you that I've talked to a couple of people, and the reports that I got in talking with those people were that all the rumors and speculation about there being a contract out there already, somewhere in the neighborhood of $35 million, I heard that none of that was true, that whether it was actually debated or not may even not be true. I mean, people love to throw out the numbers, right? They love to throw out these huge sums of money because that's what college coaches and rock star coaches are being paid right now. I have to think that if I'm Scott Frost and if I am coaching an undefeated team that has a chance to clearly be the non-Power 5 rep for the New Year's Six. I understand all this other stuff that's going on, but I am at least going to play this last game of the regular season before I start any conversation about what's next. You also have a championship game to play in. You have the opportunity to do something with the program that you're at currently that has never been done with that program before. I mean, to think about what they could accomplish is something that I think Scott Frost is taking very seriously, and so I hope Husker fans don't get upset or don't get irrational when he may not be ready to respond and ready to reply to his alma mater, because he's got a pretty important thing going on over the next 7 to 10 days here.
Oh, absolutely he does, and maybe that's why others have moved on from him from a timeline standpoint. It's also interesting to see that, you know, the Chip Kelly sweepstakes is full bore. It's, is Chip Kelly going to head to the West Coast? Is Chip Kelly going to find his way down to Florida? I mean, he's pretty fascinating, and you've got the coaching carousel in full swing, and it's 100 miles per hour.
And Chip Kelly doesn't have to wait on anybody, doesn't have to wait for anybody. If there's a job out there that wants him, Chip could take it tomorrow. Now, I have heard that there are substantial truths to the fact that Chip has the offer from Florida. Now, whether he actually has a contract in hand, what that actual contract is, but that Scott Strickland and some big-time Florida folks were down there, or up there, I should say, you know, up in Kelly, up in New England, and making the offer. Listen, if Chip wants the Florida job, I think he could have it, but I think he is a very thorough guy. He is not a seat-of-the-pants, quick decision maker, which is kind of funny when you consider the offense that he ran and how quickly he wanted his guys to go, but he's a deep thinker, and he will mull over whether it's Florida versus UCLA or versus any other possibilities. I do think, though, that Florida job is the linchpin, right? Because do they end up signing Kelly? If Kelly says no and they don't want to wait on Scott Frost, is Dan Mullen, a former Florida assistant who's had success as an assistant and obviously as a head man at Mississippi State, is he ready to make that plunge? Kind of a Chip Kelly disciple as well, which is interesting. So I think that's the one that really spins everything into full gear. Once that Florida job has been filled, then I think it's that king job. It's the big seat at the table. And then comes the scramble to get to all the other seats that are still out there.
Think about this, though. Say Chip goes the UCLA route, and yep, say Florida says, all right, Mullen, you're good, we love you, but we love us some Willie Taggart. The buyout's not awful at Oregon. He'd probably love getting back to the southeast part of the United States. Not that Oregon's a bad job, it's just not where he's from, not his comfort zone, so to speak.
Look, it's not Florida. It's not Florida, it's not right now.
Right. And so does it then get into the Oregon v. Nebraska race for Scott Frost if he wants to leave Central Florida?
You know, I had not really thought about that possibility, and then the minute that you started spinning that scenario, I kind of figured where you were going. I would be surprised if Taggart left Eugene after 1 year, such a short period of time. You know, it's a dicey situation to do that. I don't think it works for a lot of coaches. I think it doesn't work for a lot of programs, clearly, because you don't want that kind of turnover. But I think there's almost an unwritten rule. Now, you remember this happened with Paul Chryst. When Brett Bielema left, you know, Paul Chryst had just gone to Pitt, and he was there for 1 year, and it was clear that he was Barry Alvarez's guy. And it was clear that he would have preferred to come back. But I think both guys realized 1 year doesn't do a lot of good for the program or the coach moving. And now they got lucky that Gary Anderson decided after a couple of years that he wanted to head back to Oregon State. I think Gary would like that decision back, but that's another conversation for another time. And then 2 years later, it worked out better for Paul. I think if that was the timing for Willie, it would make more sense. But I would be very surprised if both parties thought that after just 1 year in Eugene, it was right to bring him back to the Southeast.
What do you think happens with Bielema? Is it all dependent on Malzahn if he wants to head home to Arkansas?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that Brett made some pretty bold proclamations when he took that job. You know, I considered him a friend when he was here at Wisconsin, and I was as surprised as anybody when he left to go to Arkansas, and the statement that he made was, I want to win national championships, and I believe it is much easier to win them at Arkansas than it is to Wisconsin. And that didn't make a lot of sense to me then, knowing what was in the SEC, especially in the SEC West, and it makes a lot less sense to me now. I mean, Brett did nothing but win games at Wisconsin and bring them to big-time bowls. I mean, Rose Bowl after Rose Bowl, I understand a couple of years, it was because the league was down and the divisions had shifted and Penn State was ineligible and Ohio State was ineligible. I get all of that. But I never understood why he thought it would be easier in this day and age to win a national championship when you have to go through that juggernaut of the SEC West, and Paul Chryst is clearly proving him wrong. I think the folks in Arkansas may be done. He's making a lot of money. I mean, I think it's $4+ a year. That's a lot of money to be very average, to go to mid-tier bowl games, if a bowl game at all, and to not really have any signature wins. So I would believe that they would be ready to move on if they can find a better option. And obviously, that's a big if. I would be shocked if Malton was that option.
That's where he's from. That's where he started. And he may want to dial back the lack of gratuity that Auburn shows him. He's fired one minute, you're the best the next. And that job is super unstable at Auburn, where they'll play for championships one year, go 8-5 the next, and it's hot seat time. We'll see. Big Ten Buffet time. Rick Pizzo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What in the world has happened to Iowa after trashing Ohio State?
Man, I got to tell you, they are the enigma wrapped inside of a riddle. I cannot figure out what is going on with that football team. I mean, they are a fundamentally solid defensive team that offensively show these signs of brilliance, Ohio State, and then show signs of absolute apathy. I mean, they look so bad offensively against Purdue. And now I'll give the Boilermakers some credit. This is a vastly improved defense. But still, I mean, Nate Stanley looked like it was the first time that he had played starting quarterback beyond high school. They struggled in every aspect of the game, and I think some of it is Brian Ferentz being a first-time offensive coordinator. You're going to have some ups and downs. They don't have the talent, I would say, start to finish offensively that they've had in years past. Certainly not the year that they went 12-0 during the regular season, but if you can figure out Iowa, send me and Kirk Ferentz a note, because I think we would both appreciate it.
I have no answer for that, but thanks for the offer. Wisconsin, man, they just keep just squeezing the life out of people. The run game is so important. Their defense is incredible. Hornibrook showed me a lot. As bad as he played at times against Michigan, that dude came right back and made some money throws against a really, really good defense. I know Michigan was on their third quarterback, but Wisconsin just doesn't go away. And I half expected them to slip up. Is it still a possibility in the rivalry game against Minnesota on the road?
I just don't see it. Not as good as that defense is. I know Hornibrook can make some mistakes, and he kind of reminds me of me after a night out with the boys and a few of the adult-style beverages. The next morning before I'm ready to do anything productive, I have to have, you know, 4 to 5 cups of coffee. For Hornibrook, he has to make 4 or 5 bad throws and get picked off once, and then suddenly he wakes up and he's a new guy. And that's basically what happened against Michigan. I mean, he looked like he was lost. He was a deer in the headlights. He's going to lose the game for them. They're at a 3rd and long. They have no chance, and he throws an absolute dart in between 2 Michigan defenders, leading his receiver where only A.J. Taylor can get it. And then Danny Davis makes an incredible one-handed catch that stole the spotlight away from what a great throw that was from Hornibrook on the drive that eventually sealed the game away. You know, he doesn't have to be great. When he tries to be great, I believe, is when he really struggles. I believe that's when he puts too much pressure on himself. He makes mistakes, and then he gets up against it, and he stops thinking. It's like when you're 97 over par, and you get to the 17th hole, and you're like, I just don't care. I'm going to shoot a million. I want to get to the clubhouse, and you go birdie, because you just don't care, and you stop thinking. You're not paralysis by analysis. You're just letting your instincts take over. If he can do that, this team has a legitimate shot to go 13-0, and I am so sick of hearing the argument. There is no way no way that a 13-0 Big Ten champion Wisconsin team gets left out of the playoffs.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio. What did Tanner Lee do for you, if anything, in the second half against Penn State?
Listen, I think Tanner has shown a lot of guts this year. I really do. I mean, he's taken some shots, not just physically, but obviously also verbally, from some in the media, myself included, certainly from some fans in Lincoln that had him already christened as the second coming of Tommy Frazier before the year even started, which was a mistake that I'm not going to go into. But he has showed me a lot at times this year. It is really hard when you are leading an offense that is constantly playing catch-up because of what your team does or does not do on the other side of the football. I'm not trying to make excuses for Tanner because he's made some really bad throws, but I think there is a ton of potential there for this young man. This team, however, just went off the rails very early, and I don't know what it was, Chris. I don't know if it was coaching. I don't know if it was team leadership. I don't know if there were chemistry issues. But sometimes when you go off the rails, see Northwestern early in the year, you can get right back on them. Nebraska's never found a way to get back on them.
Yes to all of the above. Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. A lot going on in Lincoln, Iowa, Nebraska. What's your gut say about the ball game, Rick, on Friday, on Black Friday? And if it is Mike Riley's final game at Nebraska, a thought on Mike Riley's time at Nebraska?
I think it's going to surprise some people, but I like the Huskers to win this game on Friday. I know they are in a very bad spot right now. I think that for all of Mike's shortcomings at this job, and I think I told you 3.5 years ago, and I will stick with it, it was a fit issue. It was not a coaching ability issue. It was never coaching ability with Mike. He can coach his pants off. It is a weird fit, and it was not going to work. That being said, I think the players have a ton of respect for Mike. And I think when you play this game, and you have a respect for your own crowd, and you have a respect for your own field, and you should have a damn ton of respect for what that program has meant and what that program still is in the history of college football. I think that all comes together this weekend. I was already bowl eligible. They know they're going to go somewhere. They know it's not going to be somewhere great. I'm not saying they don't have a lot to play for, but I think Nebraska has a lot more to play for in this football game, and I do think the Huskers win on Friday.
Last thought here when it comes to college football playoff, Rick. If Bama, Miami, and Oklahoma still win out, Ohio State takes out Wisconsin. Ohio State's got to be in, don't they? Don't they trump a Pac-12 champion with two losses?
I think they do, and I think that's why it was really important that they were in front of USC and stayed in front of USC. You bring up a couple of ifs that are very important. I think Alabama has to win out. Because if Alabama wins out, then you eliminate Auburn and you eliminate Georgia. And you have one SEC team. You know, the ACC champ is probably going to get in. And Oklahoma, if they run the table, is going to get in. I don't think that Ohio State, though, Chris, has to just win. I think they have to win convincingly. The reason they got in 2014 and leapfrogged TCU and Baylor wasn't because they beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship. It was because they annihilated them. It was 59-0. The committee had no other choice. If they go beat Michigan by 3 or 4 touchdowns and then go beat Wisconsin and unbeaten Wisconsin by double digits, that's what you have to do. That's the respect you have to earn. And, yes, if those other cards fall that way, I think Ohio State gets in.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. Rick, a very happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, man. We'll catch up next week, and thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
May the turkey and family treat you well this week, my friend.
Pizzo's the best. Turkey will be good. And caller 9 and 10, qualify right now. Nebraska, Iowa tickets, Blur Party Pass. How about that? Caller 9 and 10, qualify right now. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Caller 9 and 10. Qualify Nebraska, Iowa. That giveaway is in a half hour. Greg Smith on the way.
And now. And now. Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some recruiting. Let's talk some Nebraska, Iowa. Welcome in recruiting analyst Greg Smith of HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. Greg, you geared up for Thanksgiving, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm always geared up for Thanksgiving, man. I got the honey-baked ham calling my name.
So you do ham. Are you anti-turkey or turkey? Do you have turkey as well?
I'd never have turkey. I'm not really a turkey fan. Like, fried turkey maybe, but I'm not going out of my way for turkey.
All right. The first salvo fired by Greg Smith on Thanksgiving. So in the rivalry that is Iowa and ham and turkey and Nebraska, I'll let you figure out who's who, Iowa being ham or turkey, Nebraska being turkey or ham. Before we get into Nebraska, Iowa, you know what? How about York? How about a tremendous champion for Class B? And how about an offer for Garrett Snodgrass? Did everything, still does everything, and yeah, just a junior. What a player for York, and Nebraska said, hey, here's a scholarship offer, son. What's your reaction?
Yeah, first, it was a great, great season for the York Dukes. I got to see them a handful of times in person this season. I think they ended up the season winning their last 12 games, and they looked better every time I saw them. So hats off to Coach Glenn Snodgrass out there and what he was able to do with that team. But I think that offer was a long time coming for Garrett, though. I know, you know, through having talks with people inside of the Nebraska recruiting offices, that was something that people have been lobbying for internally. So good to see that he got that offer, and he definitely showed why he got that offer last night, as he capped off a great, great state championship run with, I think, 200 yards rushing and a couple of touchdowns, a handful of tackles, a sack. He's a do-everything type of player. I think that his frame, to me, screams bulk him up and let him play 3-4 outside linebacker. He could possibly continue growing and end up as a defensive end, but I really see him as an outside linebacker. I know people hate this comparison, but if you think of what was Wisconsin and Iowa do with their outside linebackers, get them in the program, get them in that strength and conditioning program for a couple of years, let them go to work on their body and building that up, and then they become monsters. I could see him being something like that. Think Luke Gifford.
No, I like Luke, and I like what Iowa and Wisconsin have had as outside linebackers, quite frankly, bottle it and smuggle it over to Nebraska. I mean, they have been incredible at the outside linebacker spot in Wisconsin specifically with their linebackers in general, and you'll see a great one in Josie Jewell on Friday for Iowa. Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking some recruiting. For the Class A final tonight, you look at North and you look at Kearney. Any kids you've seen or on your radar to be watching for?
Yeah, you know, I've seen North a couple of times this season, and you can't, you know, talk about North without thinking about that dynamic duo of running backs that they have, Xander Gray, and then Milt Sarbaugh as well, mm-hmm. Thunder and Lightning combo. You keep an eye on that for sure, but they've got some younger players as well to keep an eye on too. Kearney has a fantastic athlete at quarterback. And there's a lot of good skill talent on the field this year. That should be a really good battle.
No, I can't wait to see it in a little bit. Greg, let's talk about the coaching carousel and the fallout that could happen. You have a coaching change at Florida, and maybe one of the prerequisites, not a given, but Randy Shannon's recruited the state of Florida and SEC country and ACC country forever and a day. He's a guy that maybe some Florida administrators would like to see retained, and Shannon's been a really good defensive coordinator wherever he's been. So you have that aspect of things. Can Florida hang on to their class? What's the domino effect here with Florida and Tennessee both being open, and now also UCLA being open? Maybe not as it relates to Nebraska, but just in general. I mean, poaching season alive and well, and could Nebraska see some rewards from that, see some remnants of that?
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned those three schools that you mentioned that now have coaching openings and are searching, and like you mentioned, poaching season is full on. All three of those teams in the top 15 of class recruiting rankings right now. If you look at the top 15 right now, seven of the top 15 all have some sort of interesting coaching situation going on. Either they are thinking about firing their coach, they've already fired them, or there's a lot of whispers, say, in Oregon and Willie Taggart's case, that he may be looking been poking around, or at least his agent is putting his name out there a bunch, so you can play on the instability there. Like, it's going to be nuts to see how this plays out with the amount of high-level recruits, and that's why I mentioned the top 15, because we're not talking about slouches here in these classes. We're talking about some high-quality players, a lot of impact guys that every team would like to have, and how many of those end up moving. If you look specifically at the situation with Florida, their star quarterback, Matt Corral, the high four-star kid, was a five-star, had that star removed, but he actually went to Bama this weekend, and nobody wants to see Bama being the beneficiary of all of this stuff, but that's where we are. Nick Saban always lurking in the shadows, right? There's going to be some programs that benefit from this. A lot of Husker fans want me to say that Nebraska could be one of them. Don't know if that's really in the cards, as long as Nebraska's also in flux. They're trying to hang on to the guys they have, but someone is going to, not just someone, a few schools are going to benefit from all of this fluctuation that's going on out there.
You look at some of the openings. Ole Miss could open. Oregon State's got an interim. The rumor mill, what happens with Arkansas and Auburn, that's something I'm really keeping an eye on. Does A&M make a move for Jimbo? Is Florida State open? Does Taggart go back south? And then you have Nebraska. So it is incredible. And, Greg, this is the first year you've got the early signing period. Programs like Nebraska have fought for it, and now it could be kind of useless for them that this first go-around with it.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing for Nebraska and some of these other schools that find themselves in this similar situation, is that they really aren't able to take advantage. Think about how great it would be if Nebraska was stable right now. Think of all the amount of kids that are even committed to some of these other schools that Nebraska had on campus, or they had strong interest in them, whether or not they're skill position guys on the line. There's a lot of them out there that had interest in Nebraska that are committed to these schools that we've been naming, but Nebraska just can't really, because how does Nebraska then pitch to those kids right now without any sort of coaching stability of their own? It's just a really tough situation. Now, the thing is, though, is that all of this won't be resolved in short order, right? Like, some school is going to lag behind and end up having to push up close to the early signing period and hiring their coach. It's just the way that it works. Not everybody is going to have their stuff together and ready to roll. So if Nebraska can make a move quickly, they can maybe get a leg up and trying to flip a couple of kids.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter is where you can find him, and great recruiting stuff daily from Greg and Hail Varsity and HailVarsity.com. Let's get to Iowa. Let's talk Iowa, Nebraska. It's building up to the topic du jour this week, other than coaching search and opening and candidate and all that. Yes or no, in the Greg Smith book of rivals, is Iowa a rival? Do you count them as one for Nebraska?
Yes, I count Iowa as a rival, and part of the reason is that people really hate Iowa, like the state in general, right? I think it's safe for us to be able to say that right now. I feel that with DeMarne Pearson-Mel and his comments yesterday. Like, people don't like Iowa, and I also think that part of the protesting of people wanting to say, or Husker fans wanting to say, that Iowa's not a rival actually does show me that Iowa gets under their skin a little bit, because they don't want to admit it. But I think people feel as if they're settling by saying that Iowa is their rival, when they really want it to be Wisconsin and Michigan State, because those programs are viewed as better programs. But you got to take your rivals where you can get them. You are brand new to the league, and you're trying to develop those. I just think people want them to be developed more naturally.
So, to me, they check all the boxes. I talked about this on the show earlier. You got your checklist here. Do you hate them? Yeah. Why do you hate them? Because you think you're better than them, or they have bludgeoned you the last couple of years. You also have a bit of grudging respect for them. Are the games meaningful? Well, not to get embarrassed. That's the point where both of these programs are at. Don't lose to a team that's had bad years. Is it a big game yet? No, it's the last game, so it's a test of wills. You have location, and until one of these two dethrone Wisconsin, and Iowa did that 2 years ago in 2015, then it's a nice geographical showdown, and I think you call it a rival, but it's still miles away from building up to being for anything other than just bragging rights. There's nothing else attached to it, because you're not playing for championships in the Big Ten West or going to Indy. Am I fair with that?
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I also think that there's another thing that could really pour some gas on this, and whoever, you know, is coaching Nebraska next season, if they would just needle Kirk Ferentz a little bit, right? If they embraced the fact that some people, Bill Moose, you know, that next coach boss included, wants Iowa to be Nebraska's rival. If you take a couple of shots at them, as Iowa has thrown a few our way over the last couple of years, maybe that'll ignite things a little bit more too, and at least some of those fans that are on the fence about it will really get behind it, if for no other reason is because they want to be seen as supporting the new coach.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Well, Greg, I know we'll have the forecast coming up here. How do you think Nebraska approaches Friday as we get into some analysis time? Do you think they'll be, and this could be what's the reality is, and you're playing one more for Coach Riley, and you're going out one more time for Coach Riley. That's not hard to get on board with, I don't think, for Nebraska fans, and I don't think for the team. But can they muster enough to play four quarters of consistent football? I don't know what the heck's up with Iowa. I mean, post-Ohio State, I think they got too big of heads. I don't know. Maybe they caught lightning in a bottle against Urban, and the rest of the Big Ten sent them all thank you cards. But can Nebraska put it together one more time, one final time?
You know, the honest answer, I can give you a lot of analysis, but who knows? Like, it's tough to know with this team week to week and really half to half, quarter to quarter, what you're going to get from this football team. Like, if you get the version that played, say, in the second half against Oregon or the second half against Penn State, then that team can put it on Iowa this week and go out and send Mike Riley out on a nice win. If you get the team that showed up in the first half last week in Happy Valley, then you end up in a really bad situation where, you know, you're going to look up and you're going to be bloody and Iowa's going to take you out. But at the same time, Iowa is also Jekyll and Hyde. I think Nebraska will come out motivated and ready to go. If for nothing else, is that they really don't want to say that they lost to Iowa again, and that people can look to this season and say, even though it's one of the worst seasons in Nebraska football history, even when we had that horrid season, we still beat Iowa.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Give him some love for going with Honey Baked Ham. Is that right? Is that the Greg Smith special recipe?
It is honey baked ham, baked mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, and rolls. That's all I need.
Bone in, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, I'm coming over. That's all there is. I'll bring you the bourbon this time, Greg Smith.
There we go. I'll save you a plate.
Greg, you be good. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Coming up, your chance, Iowa, Nebraska tickets, Blur Party passes. We'll do that drawing. Applebee's Tuesday Trivia next.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And getting response here, Greg Smith, genius, perhaps ham over turkey for Thanksgiving. And Colton, we were talking about this. We'll get to trivia in a second. And Gregor's is doing, I called him Gregor's again. That's what he will burst through that door and hatch at me. Greg is honey baked ham with bone in. And he's done. And he's great. And this is, my turkey's got to be from Stoisich House of Sausage in Omaha. Ken is awesome. And it's got to be their smoked turkey breast because it tastes like him. It's so good. It is incredibly phenomenal. We've done that at our house. We're not doing it this year, even though we're hosting, protesting. But that's where you go. I mean, my dad's tried to fry a turkey before. This sounds so ungrateful and un-Thanksgiving-like. But for the most part, most times you've had turkey, you need 17 gallons of gravy on it, don't you? I mean, we're just taking the cape off here.
I mean, if it's
too
dry,
Greg's got enough to say, damn it, I love ham. And he's probably right. Ham is almost undefeated. Ham is like Bama. Once in a while, turkey can be as good as Auburn. If it steps up their game and is the right smoked and not dry, and there you are. Getting to a full-on Thanksgiving rivalry, finally. Iowa, Nebraska, no. Ham and turkey, perhaps.
I mean, like I was telling you, either way,
they have to be done right.
They do.
But if I have to pick...
Are you going to go ham?
I think our holidays is just ham. I think that's what it is. But
maybe you go both.
But I can't skip a turkey leg or dark meat from turkey. So
you,
okay.
So do you go medieval? You eat with your hands and you're just like, eating the turkey leg?
You try to bite through the bone. Yeah. You get every last little bit of turkey off the turkey leg. But and you have to have a couple cuts of ham.
They look so good, either out in front of Memorial Stadium or back in the day when you realized that, yeah, I'm going to go to the fair with my parents.
Yeah. I mean, it's a classic. It's a fall classic, I think.
And medieval times.
Right, exactly. And I think you have to go both. I think the ham with mashed potatoes is undefeated, but turkey legs are pretty close.
Or a big green bean casserole.
Not me.
So you hate it, too?
No, I'm not a fan.
You and Sip hate it, and you're both anti-American.
Maybe a little.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't like the mushroom, cream of mushroom?
It's not a big green bean guy.
Really? You haven't had the right green beans either.
Probably not.
That's what I'm going to go with. Okay. Let's get someone hooked up here with Applebee's Tuesday Trivia with Hail Varsity. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Get in line for trivia. Tuesday Trivia with Applebee's. And we're talking food here. Let's tell you what you can do tonight at Applebee's. How about Tuesdays and Thursdays only, 50-cent boneless, 55-cent bone-in wings. Get the charred bone-in wings. You'll thank me. Other flavors that are incredible. Dine in or call ahead for Carside to Go for other options. Phenomenal meals. Tremendous. We had a little Animal House here action, perhaps. Ah, there we go. There we go. Wednesdays, 99-cent kids' meals. Don't forget that. Appetizers, half price. Mondays, 3 to 6. And every day after 9, Applebee's where you need to be. Tuesday trivia, $50 gift card up for grabs. I need to know from you how many conference championships Iowa has. How many conference titles does Iowa have? 129 seasons of Hawkeye football. They claim, that's in italics, 4 national championships. How many conference titles does Iowa have? Ryan, let's get you in here. Tuesday trivia with Hail Varsity and Applebee's. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Are you a ham or a turkey guy?
I'm a turkey guy.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
How many conference titles does Iowa football have?
I'm going to totally take a stab in the dark and say 13.
You're going to totally lie to me and say it's a stab in the dark and say 13.
No, totally.
Really?
Yeah.
Why'd you go with 13?
Why?
Unlucky?
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan, you're the smartest man alive. Congratulations.
Sweet.
One and done. Yes. That's how we love our trivia. Ryan, hang on the line. Colton will get all the important information.
And we'll do.
Well done, sir. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. So Ryan made it happen because of his brilliance. And he hates Iowa. And he's like, well, I'm going to give them the worst number associated to man, and that's the unlucky number 13, and that's what they have, 13 conference championships. That's impressive. 11 Big Ten titles, most recently in 2004. That's a good thing. They have 13. Kirk's the longest active tenured head coach, because Big Game Bob's drinking Bud Light right now. This turkey and ham thing's taking off. So here's what we got. Brett Baker says no. With a nice West Wing gif. Dan Hoppen. Dan's a good dude, really good basketball player, tall. He says, amen, brother. Turkey is fine, but ham takes its lunch money. Appreciate that. There's no wrong answer. The only wrong answer is not to eat till you pass out on Thursday. Good stuff from Greg Smith earlier. Garrett Snodgrass, great family, Snodgrass family out in York. Garrett getting that scholarship offered in Nebraska. You got high school championship tonight, Class A. And we spent plenty of time on Chip Kelly. That domino effect he has. And where, oh where, does Chip Kelly land? Mitch Sherman's been with us. Greg Smith was with us to get hour two going, along with Big Ten Buffet Man Rick Pizzo. We're about out of time for Baker Mayfield sound. Yes? He got emotional, and he got mocked for it earlier today by some. I think it meant that much to him to be a captain and voted on by his peers. I think the tears are for the fact that this punishment actually, like, came with some bite. It's not run the stairs, say you're sorry, let me read without eye contact off of a note card prepared for me by communications. No, he's like, no, man, I got grounded. I got grounded for senior day. Not starting, yeah. That probably happened when you tried to run a 4.240 in cowboy boots. And then somebody went Bosworth on you this summer. But the cup check caused uproar. Your chance, Nebraska, Iowa tickets, Blur Party passes. We will draw shortly.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, it is almost that time. Time for Nebraska Iowa tickets to be given away, along with Blur Party passes. Missed any part of the show today? You are invited to catch us on the ESPN Lincoln app, podcast posting there, of course, HailVarsity.com, and iTunes. Subscribe to us. Good stuff today. Mitch Sherman is awesome. Greg Smith, phenomenal. Rick Pizzo, incredible. Big Ten Buffet. Tomorrow we are loaded up. Little Wilderness Ridge Golf segment with Shuey. Brandon Vogel going to be with us. We will run down Gary Barnett. It's Barney on Wednesday. Brad Edwards' reaction, reflection on the college football playoff, but also this weekend's games. Got the Iron Bowl going on, and Brad knows a lot about that being down in Bama country. And we'll talk Iowa, Nebraska. We'll talk Mike Riley and the likely farewell. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Dave is championing his smoked turkey. And if you know what, I have a smoker. I'm proud of my smoker. And Uncle Andy has suggested we put turkey on my smoker. I should take him up for that. You know, if you can do the right smoked turkey where it's, you just worry about dry turkey. The scene from Griswold's Christmas Vacation, there's the heart. I mean, that's just your fear. How about Coach McBride's treatment of turkeys? They're already dead. But yesterday he's like, well, I'm going to rip the guts out of Jared Tomich's turkeys. After they're dead, of course. And he'll get Thanksgiving ready. Well, that's a black shirt Thanksgiving. Pretty sweet. All right, without further ado, let us draw the name and the winner for Iowa Nebraska tickets, Blur Party passes with Hail Varsity at ESPN. Colton Stone, action hero, take it away.
Our winner for the final game of the year is Jared Liesemeyer, I think that is how we're going to pronounce it.
Liesemeyer? Jared Liesemeyer?
Liesemeyer.
All right. Jared, well done. Congratulations.
I butchered it. I'm sorry.
It's all right. He's got a pair of Nebraska-Iowa tickets and Blur Party passes.
I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, and you know what's going to be nice? It's going to be freaking 12 degrees and awful. I know that's how like Black Friday games are supposed to be. But a mixing in a little sunshine and just gorgeousness is fine. Hang on to fall versus old man winter as long as you can. All right, tomorrow, Gary Barnett, Brad Edwards, Brandon Vogel, Mike Shewhart, maybe a Jay Moore sighting. I don't know yet, but that'd be cool. And today, thanks to Greg Smith, Rick Pizzo, Mitch Sherman, Colton Stone, producing engineering. And keep that debate going. Ham over turkey for the win? Or are you sticking through and through with that turkey? Have a good night. Enjoy your Tuesday. Take care. Thunder and Warriors tonight. A little NBA love. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thank you.